Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. Do not forget to buy lentils, or the lentil soup you're making for dinner will be sorely lacking. By the way, Mrs. Calloway says thanks for helping her bundle home and auto. She appreciates the extra savings, even though you kept using the word apropos incorrectly. But the main thing is, do not forget to buy, what was it? Something apropos the lentil soup. Sorry, I'll call you back.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast, special live edition. We have our Hangouts back. Google Hangouts is back. I get to talk to Harrison. It's not just either Harrison or I just talking into a camera. This is a little bit more fun. We get to go feedback off of each other. Every so often, if you want, you could send us questions. I'm at Anthony Irwin LA. He's at HM Fagan. And then you can always send questions while we're here live. On Silver Screen and Roll, which is at Lakers SBN. Video is going to be up, and then we're going to take it down for the audio, and then we'll put it back up on our podcast feed, which you can find on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. And make sure you're using the promo code LO Lakers for SeatGeek. You get a $20 rebate, and Mac Weldon, you get a 20% discount. This is a Mack Weldon hoodie. It's super comfortable. And then this is one of their t-shirts, which is also super comfortable. Harrison,
is that why we're doing video? So that we could show off the merchandise? Because I'm wearing the underwear right now.
I probably wouldn't show off the merchandise if I were you. I'd probably let that one go. Just everybody take Harrison's word for it.
They're really comfortable. You could just take my word for it.
Yeah, he looks super comfortable. So we'll just let that ride as it is.
Yeah, okay. All right, fine. I guess whatever. Right. Whatever,
so,
man.
So before Harrison starts, I mean, our viewership would probably go way down. Like, it'd go up for a little bit and then everybody would start vomiting and then, you know, the viewership would go way down.
You know, words hurt, man.
Let's go ahead and talk about the game and move off of Harrison's underpants.
Oh, we're talking about more than my underwear tonight.
the conversation has to start with Brandon Ingram, right? It just has to. He plays.
Yeah, I mean, he was the best player on the floor that played for the Lakers.
Yeah, there were a few other players on the court that played a little better, but they happened to be on the other team. This was easily his best game so far this preseason. He looked really good. He was active on the boards with 7 rebounds. He finishes with 21 points, and he does that on 10 shots, making 2 of 3 from 3-point range. I'm telling you, I think. You know, nobody was ever going to react calmly, or there were very few people who were going to react calmly when he was struggling to hit a shot early in the preseason. But it was going to take time to get used to NBA speed. And once he did, once he got his feet under him, I think he continues to look stronger every game. And then, you know, the hope is that he continues to build forward. I don't know if he's going to have many efforts better than 21 points, but what did you like most from what you saw from him tonight?
Well, I liked pretty much everything that I saw from him tonight. I didn't think that his defense took a drop off either with the increased offensive output. I really liked the way that they were putting the ball in his hands a lot more. They were using him in more of that facilitator role, which, shameless plug, is something I wrote about earlier this week. So it was kind of cool to see them actually doing that a little bit more. It wasn't Luke paying lip service to it. It was something that he was actually planning on doing, and it was something that he actually felt like that if he put the ball in Ingram's hands, that was going to get him a little bit more comfortable than having him play more of an off-ball role and kind of float around out there. So that's going to continue into the regular season, but at this point, I mean, from the early returns on it, they might as well try it for now. I mean, until it stops working. I mean, maybe they scale back a little bit, but he was playing against the real Warriors tonight. They weren't playing against the Santa Cruz ones like they were last week. And right. I think he was better with the ball in his hands. And I think the other obvious reason, the thing that kind of a lot of people ignored that really set him up for success tonight, was that the Lakers were in San Diego, so he didn't have to deal with the pressure of using Kobe's locker. And so I think that like really eased a burden on him. And it was just like, you could just see it out there. It was a major weight off his shoulders. And instead of, you know, getting retirement Kobe Bryant powers and going like, you know, 2 for 9 or whatever, he went 7 of 10 tonight. So I think San Diego, it's the finest city. You know, it lived up to its name tonight.
So you mentioned that the Warriors played, you know, that they played their significant minutes. Their typical minutes is something close to their minutes, right? Draymond Green played 32 minutes, Durant 31, Curry 31 minutes, Klay Thompson 32 minutes. The only guy who played lower minutes than he might during the regular season was Andre Iguodala. He only played 22. But yeah, this was pretty close to, I wouldn't say the typical Warriors game. You know, there was the stretch where the Lakers kind of climbed back into it. One would think in that kind of situation, while the Lakers climbed back into it, Kerr wouldn't have gone with his bench guys for as long as he did. But, you know, aside from that, you know, 123 points is about what you'd expect from the Warriors in a game. And the Lakers kind of sticking around. I tweeted right at the end of the game that I think this is exactly how we're going to see most of the Lakers games play out this year, especially against, you know, good teams like the Warriors or, you know, the other playoff teams that they're going to play. They'll kind of hang around a bit. They'll have some moments where they look good. They'll have some moments where they look bad. But at the end of the day, the game will be pretty entertaining. And, you know, they're going to lose a lot more than they win. But at least the process of getting there is going to be a lot more fun than it's been for the last couple of years. The other guy that I wanted to talk about, unless you wanted to say anything else about Brandon Ingram, I don't think there's much else to talk about.
I think we mostly hit. I mean, it was just confusing because at first it seemed like Kevin Durant had switched teams again, but it turned out that was just Brandon Ingram. So that's good news for the Lakers that, you know, with my bad eyesight, I was messing that up.
Well, had the Lakers beaten them, then you would have seen Durant switch teams and hop on the Lakers.
Yeah, that's true. Because, you know, yeah. Well, no, I think the Lakers would have had to blow a 3-1 lead and then Kevin Durant just goes to that team.
Yeah, I guess that works. That might work too.
Either way, it's a shot at Durant. So I think we threw enough shade for this segment.
All right. So the next guy that you just cannot not talk about is Nick Young. He continues to impress. This preseason, I'm telling you, I saw
the most baffling turn.
Go ahead.
Baffling turnaround in NBA history. I'm putting it out there. Like, I mean, other than Hassan White. Like, this is like the most weird, just kind of bounce back to all of a sudden becoming an NBA player that I think I've seen in a long time, if maybe ever. I mean, he looked horrible the last 2 years for the most part, and all of a sudden he's coming out now. He's having nights like tonight where he goes 5 of 10 from three and he looks like the third Splash Brother. It's crazy. And I mean, I'm being hyperbolic when I say that. Obviously, I don't think he's actually as good as those guys, but his three-pointers have been like, he's just been on point with his three-point shot. So valuable for the Lakers because of kind of their dearth of floor spacing a lot of times. And especially, I wrote a little bit about this earlier today, but just for him to go from a guy that the Lakers were going to have to pay to not play for them to a guy that's all of a sudden a valuable role player that might even be starting at times is just.
The thing with him that makes it all the more crazy, because like, all right, yeah, some guys have down years and then they come back to be the player that they might've been before. Right. Like that kind of thing happens. But the defense that he's playing right now is arguably better than he played even while D'Antoni was here, right? That when he earned the 4-year contract that we thought the Lakers were going to be sidled with moving forward. He's playing good defense. He's getting after hustle plays. It's just, yeah, it's crazy. And I don't know. I mean, we can talk about crediting Luke compared to Byron, but I feel like that kind of takes away from everything that, oh man, that just happened. That just happened.
Okay, but anyway, live. We can talk about comparing Luke and the former coach. And
what I was gonna say was that it kind of takes away from the stuff that he really looks like he worked on, right? He you know, the three-pointing and the scoring, that's gonna come naturally to somebody who is as naturally talented on that end of the court that as Nick Young is. But the work on defense to me is insane. We did not see that. That was not something that we saw. And it wasn't even an interest thing. I mean, I think there were some moments last year where he kind of sort of cared a little bit and tried to get better there, but he just didn't. I don't know if it was the wherewithal. I don't know if it was the system. I don't know if he wasn't being properly taught. Whatever it was, we just didn't see it. And now we're seeing it. And that's why, you know, he's worked himself. You can make, I would say, as good an argument for him to start as anybody on the Lakers roster.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want you never want to overreact to the preseason, and I don't want to pick on Young. I didn't notice the same type of defensive stuff last year necessarily where he was putting in a bunch of effort that you did.
No.
Yeah. But this year, it's just been night and day to this year. Like, he's using his length well. He's getting his hands in guys' faces. He's playing with his hands wide and getting them in passing lanes. Like, he's making – like, he's getting deflections and making plays defensively. Like, right now, the Lakers are just showing him making a decent rotation to the basket on their kind of post-game highlights and to defend the rim. And, the rest of the team didn't help, but he made the right rotation. Mm-hmm. And he's playing smart. Like, you can tell there's a coherent game plan here. He's playing smarter and he's just playing harder. And it's both of those things have allowed him to be a plus defensively. And then, like you said, the offensive stuff, it was kind of just going to come if he had open shots and was used in a sensible way, which he just really hadn't in the last couple years.
He finishes
a lot to just pound. It was asked a lot to just pound the ball and kind of create his own shot. And he can do that a little bit, but he's relatively inefficient at it. But if you use him as more of a low usage player, he's a lot better.
He finishes tonight with 19 points on 7 of 13 shooting, 5 of 10 from the 3-point line, 0 for 2 from the free throw line. You brought this point up earlier in the preseason as to whether or not this is the worst free throw shooting team that the Lakers have ever had.
It actually, as of a game ago, it actually was historically.
Well, it's not like it's going to improve tonight. They shot 14 to 25 from there, 56%, which is mind boggling because they don't have anybody, like they don't have Shaq on their team. Back when Shaq was on the team, the average was going to come down no matter what because he was shooting so many free throws and he sucked so bad at them. This is not the case. I have no idea why the Lakers are so – maybe Luke Walton is a bust as a coach.
See, I think that – I don't even know what to say to that. You just totally caught me off guard. My theory on it that I kind of posited in my solo Facebook Live podcast was – that I think there are just so many bigs going to the free throw line on this team. It's not necessarily that it's one like a Shaq that's getting hacked, but you get Mozgov is not a good free throw shooter and he gets hacked. Yeah, Tarik Black has been hacked a lot whenever he's under the basket and teams will keep from giving up a dunk that way. Thomas Robinson went there a couple times tonight. You know, I think that's and then like even Julius Randle isn't a great free throw shooter. Like mm-hmm. all these guys are all those guys like that are just going to kind of bring it down. Mm-hmm. Him single-handedly trying to keep them afloat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when he gets his little post-game stat sheet, Lou Williams is just like in the locker room, like cursing that they're so low in free throws. He's like, guys, this is an embarrassment to me. Just like walking around the locker room, showing guys their free throw percentage.
That would be funny. If he would have been showing the stat page to D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson, they might not be particularly thrilled with their free throws, although, you know, 2 of 2 for Russell, 3 of 5 for Clarkson is whatever. But what they definitely would not have been thrilled with was the minus 21 spot for Jordan Clarkson and the minus 20 spot for D'Angelo Russell. Plus minus is a kind of flawed stat because there's so many variables that kind of go into it. But when you have something like that, when a player leads the team in a negative way, in terms of plus minus, that's not going to look very good, you know. And tonight was, what do you think, you know, what went into that? Was it just the guys that they were playing against, do you think?
I think that's some of it. I think he definitely, he was on the floor when for the whole time that the Warriors were building that lead at the start of the game when they just could not miss a single shot. Mm-hmm. So I think that definitely hurt him, and kind of the bench came back a little bit against those Warriors bench units. So that hurt him for sure. But I mean, he definitely wasn't blameless tonight. They bothered him. 5 of 13 from the field. He actually ended up kind of getting a couple late baskets that improved his three-point field goal percentage. He had 9 assists, but against 7 turnovers, and that's just not really the ratio that you want. And so I think it's probably the turnovers as much as anything, as well as the fact that, you know, if you're guarding Curry, you're going to get roasted at times.
Yeah. Curry went on one of those stretches that you just say, like, man, F this guy.
Yep, that's Steph.
he hits a couple three-pointers. He goes off the dribble, behind the back, whatever it is, and the release happens so quickly, and he's so obnoxious while he's doing it. Like, I love it. I love the swagger that he plays basketball with, but when he's shooting, you know, and the ball's in the air still, and he's running back on defense, like, he knows it's in. It hurts, like, as a defender. He's like, man, that guy knows he's toasting me. And next time he touches the ball, he knows he's going to be able to toast me again. So that's the tough part in guarding Steph. It's just about keeping your head up. And I don't know, like, the turnovers, there were some that were, you know, just outright lazy passes. There were some that happened because he was trying to force the issue that are going to happen no matter what. It makes me feel a little bit better. Like, the 9 assists, you know, tell me that Luke – you know, and it's just like Luke has spoken about all season, all preseason. It doesn't matter what, you know, Russell is doing in terms of shooting, how he's handling the ball. Luke is still going to play through his second-year point guard. And that kind of trust is something that we haven't seen over the last couple of years. And that's the kind of trust that you know, Russell is going to, you know, fall back on after a game like this where he didn't look all that great and still say, you know what, Not only do I know that I can play better than that, but I'm going to want to play better than that because I, you know, my coach is sticking his neck out for me like that. So that was kind of cool to see. What did you think of Clarkson in the starting lineup?
I thought it looked better tonight, definitely. He kind of transitioned more back into that role that he was playing last year, where he was a little bit more kind of off the ball. He didn't look like he was looking to create as much. So that kind of stagnation that Luke talked about after the first game that he was in the starting lineup was not as noticeable necessarily tonight. Mm-hmm. Although, again, I mean, it's not like the starting lineup was free flowing with Lou Williams in there. So I thought that was a little bit of coaching through the media. It was like, you know, like, Lou is who Lou is, but Clarkson can still kind of adjust his game a little bit. And so I thought that was a little bit of the Phil Jackson influence there from Luke Walton. Just kind of, you know, just the little tweak.
Yep.
You know, nothing too overly critical, but just a tweak. Just yep. Something that Clarkson will see in, like, a, you know, some type of headline or something. But yeah, I mean, I thought overall he was good. I don't know that his defense has been as good games as it was right out of the gate. So I think he definitely has to continue to keep up his effort on that end. But I think, is that just me?
I think you're seeing that. And I think it's a product of him struggling with his shot. He's been kind of in a bit of a rut shooting the ball. Tonight he goes 3 of 9. You know, which isn't great. 2 of 6 from the three point range. And he's a young player. And a lot of times effort kind of comes along with, you know, the offensive production. It's a lot easier to stay in the game and invested in the game when you feel like you're, you know, producing on that end. And when you aren't, and this is something that, you know, older guys learn as their careers go along, it's, you know, as you kind of learn, all right, I'm not producing on that court, I'll try to make up for it on this end of the court. Whereas a young player is more prone to saying, all right, I'm not making it on that end of the court, woe is me, crap, oh no, my guy just scored, this really sucks. And it kind of, you build that momentum, the game can kind of snowball on you in that manner. So I think as the year goes along, maybe we'll start to see you know, him pick it up on the defense when he isn't playing well offensively. But for right now, I think he's kind of falling back on some bad habits defensively.
You'd say he's not top five two-way player, as a you know, friend of the show Chris Palmer so astutely tweeted the other day.
He's a friend of the show.
I mean, I just call everyone we reference a friend of the show. Yeah, that's how we make friends.
Right? No, I'm not owning him. Like, I'm not owning him as friend of the show. He tweets out dumb stuff like that. I don't want him associated with the show.
No, everybody. See, that's how you network. You just everybody's a friend of the show.
So, like, all your Twitter followers are all friends of the show too.
Yeah, like a friend of the show, D'Angelo Russell didn't have the best game tonight, but you know.
You're like Magic Johnson, my good friend. So
yeah, everybody's my good friend.
All right, sounds good to me.
Yeah, my good friend Brandon Ingram did his best Kevin Durant impersonation in the Lakers game tonight.
Vice versa. Your good friend Kevin Durant tried to you know maintain a decent Brandon Ingram impression. That's how. That's
yeah, good work. Point.
Yeah, come on, dude.
The point is, they're all our friends.
All right, so that does it for the actual recap of the game. Again, the Lakers fall to the Golden State Warriors 123-112. The Lakers fall to 2-5 on the preseason so far. Unless ESPN hasn't updated that and they're actually 2-6, you never know. They have their last preseason game on Friday, right? That's it.
Yeah, I will be there. Their last preseason game is on Friday against Devin Booker and the Phoenix Suns.
Booker, Dano. So
a friend of the show, D'Angelo Russell, Devin Booker.
That's some next level networking there. So,
that was 6 degrees of separation.
After that game, I think I'll probably just be on Facebook Live after that game because you are going to be at the game. So that's going to be kind of tough. So look for that as well. Facebook fans.
There is one more thing from the game I wanted to note. I noticed someone tweeted this at me, but Jerry West, after Brandon Ingram's one of his threes towards the end of the game, you could see him doing a fist pump courtside. So he's still a Laker.
I think the big thing with Jerry is he roots for talent in the NBA, which is kind of cool, yeah. Right? You know,
you definitely get that sense.
It's just a matter of he wants quality in the NBA, and I wish more people had. Like, I don't think you see it as much in the NBA in terms of the people who are actually directly associated with the league. I don't think you really see them necessarily rooting against talent in the NBA. But I think you kind of see that in some analysis of the league where so-and-so predicts so-and-so is going to be a bust, and that player does not do well. And then you see them kind of notice – you know, anytime they do something bad, they get extra loud about, oh, yeah, you know, this, that, and the other. And then when they do something good, you don't hear them talk about them very much. So it's kind of cool to see Jerry West take the high road.
That just amused me. Just Jerry West, Laker blood through and through. He may be working for the Lakers, but he can't help but get a little bit excited when Brandon Ingram starts cooking.
Come home, Jerry. I'd like to have Jerry West back with the Lakers. All right, so... that's it regarding the game. Before we go, though, we are going to, if you're listening to this now, Friday, talk to, crap, we shouldn't know his name. But we're going to talk to somebody who did some great reporting.
I'm pulling up our name right now. Go ahead.
But we're going to talk to somebody who worked, Tom Fair asked us to rank the colors of the rainbow. It's blue and all the other colors, Tom.
All right, so anyway, this got way off track, but Outside the Lines did a report on, quote, the decline of the Lakers franchise is how they're describing this report that is airing on Outside the Lines this Sunday at 7 a.m. or 7 a.m. on ESPN News and 6 a.m. on ESPN2. And it was reporters, I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right, Steve Delson, who interviewed Jeannie Buss, Byron Scott, and Matt Barnes, who, quote, all lend different perspectives on the franchise turmoil at the top, end quote. So I'm not sure who turmoil at the top is a quote from, but that'll be interesting to find out. And I'm interested to kind of get my hands on this special and find out, you know, and talk to Steve tomorrow for tomorrow's show and figure out exactly what's going on with this report. What's going on with the turmoil in the Lakers organization? I mean, we're obviously aware that they haven't had the best last couple years, but I'm curious to see what new information we're getting here, if any.
Yeah, I guess for me, we've talked about this off camera, and then I tweeted about it today during the day when we found out about the special, and the timing is weird to me. You know, we're less than a week away from the season starting. The Lakers have had, despite their preseason record of 2-5, they've had some really good moments. There's a lot of reason, plenty of reason to be excited about the way this season could turn out. The vibe surrounding the Lakers is completely different. And yet now we get this, you know, this report or this special on the downfall of the Lakers. It seems odd. And there's a cynical way to read into the situation. Should I even go there, or should we just move on?
You can read it however you want. You know, how much facts we have to back up some of your viewpoints.
I guess for me, it's the timeline is this thing that keeps on coming up. And every time it seems like the Lakers have some momentum moving forward, some forward momentum, we get Jeannie out there talking about this timeline again, as if to almost remind us that, hey, if this doesn't work out, you know, I'm holding Jim's feet to the fire here. And yes, it's good to hold Jim and Mitch and everybody involved in building this team and getting this team to where it is right now, both good and bad, accountable for doing so. I just think, again, it's about timing. And from a PR standpoint, this is not what the Lakers should be thinking about at all. You know, even if Outside the Lines or ESPN offers to say, hey, let's have an interview about, you know, the progress that the Lakers have made. As soon as you notice the interview going in the direction of that it seems to go, when they're talking about the downfall of the franchise, you say, you know what, I'm not really interested in talking. We aren't getting anything out of this. And that's kind of where the Lakers currently stand right now, where I don't know what the Lakers are getting out of opening themselves up to this special. Again, when it airs on Sunday, the Lakers play then 2 days later on Tuesday. That's not a great look.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my counter argument would be, you know, we don't know, especially in Jeannie's case, we don't really know what Jeannie I mean, in Byron Scott and Matt Barnes' case, you know, I don't kind of know that they aren't going to have the most positive things to say about the Lakers, but we don't know that she wasn't there just saying, like, I think we're making progress, this and that, you know, just kind of mm-hmm. giving platitudes a little bit, and that she just happened to be interviewed and that she's in this special about the quote unquote turmoil within the Lakers or whatever, you know, it is. Right. And so we don't know what she said. We may have a little bit more information on that for you guys tomorrow on Friday. But I mean, as of right now, I would just assuming that she went out there and bus or something. Right. And I could look like an idiot for this, because maybe that's exactly what she did. Who knows?
Right. I guess for me, I come back to, again, it's the timing of it. It's even if she, you know, all she said was, guys, we're trying to make progress as best we can. We were dealt in, you know, Kobe gets hurt. That didn't help. Dwight Howard and Kobe didn't get along. That didn't work out very well. Steve Nash breaks his leg. That wasn't great. And circumstance put us in the situation where we kind of had to rebuild via kids and via the draft. And this is where we are right now. We've made great progress. We have this group of young kids and this and that and the other. So if Jeannie just does go out there and say those things, then great. And she's doing her job. But if she says, if she comes back to this timeline again, you just have to wonder what's going on up at the top of the organization. Because that, again, isn't a great look on basically the eve of the regular season. So, but like, I'm looking forward to talking to what was his name? The reporter's name again?
Steve.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to Steve on what he unearthed. I would hope he talked to more people than just Matt Barnes, Byron Scott, and Jeannie Buss for the actual, you know, written report. But if so, maybe they had so many interesting nuggets that he decided to run with it.
I guess so.
All right, so that does it for tonight's Locked On Lakers Live. Again, we're going to pull this down, upload the audio to our Audio Boom account, and it's going to shoot out to iTunes, to tune in to Stitcher, and then Silver Screen Enroll in today's fast break is going to have all the audio that you might need. And again, make sure you're using the promo code LOLakers for SeatGeek and Mack Weldon. SeatGeek, you get a $20 rebate. Mack Weldon, you get a 20% discount. And yeah, we'll talk to everybody again on Friday.
Anthony.
Shouts to Von Wafer.